Hello, friends. On today's show, a soldier builds a kid's ride. A lady picks up a hitchhiker and it actually works out. We find out about a tickle lab. And a taco stand gets a Michelin star, and that's the first time that's happened. That's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Meeting?
Yeah.
As we were exiting, I told the hostess, I said, thank you, it was very loud.
How was everything? Loud?
It was very loud.
It was very loud.
Jesus, there are only like 8 people in this Mexican restaurant.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever heard Calliope used in orchestration for tejano music, but kudos to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a choice.
Yeah, it really was.
That was quite the choice.
All the songs sounded very, very angsty. I mean, they were just...
Lots of in mi corazón.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the rule that all Tejano music has to say corazón every third word.
Absolutely.
Or it's illegal.
Yeah, so this right here, this is manageable compared to the foursome that I was dealing with in the booth.
Oh, I know Brent loves it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
I've already griped about it. I was like, 90s heroin music that's been going on for the 45 minutes I've been sitting here.
Oh, man.
So
I feel like watching Trainspotting again.
Yeah, exactly. Love that baby on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Love the baby on the ceiling.
Considering what Doug and I have been through in traffic to
yes.
get here.
Yes, no, that's true.
It's very apropos.
Speaking of traffic.
Yeah.
You're listening to Two Beers In. It's a podcast where I gripe about music and my friends get stuck in traffic. I am your host, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying, I actually wrote it down, a Saturn, a frozen drink made with Roku gin, Falimum, which I have no idea what that is, Gifford Orgeat, passion fruit, lemon, and a mint sprig. We are here at the Radio East, Monica.
East.
We're here at Radio East Austin, Texas.
Although South, very nice.
Very nice place. Has a good bathroom.
Has a good ladies' room.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're off Montopolis on the east side of Austin. And there's my friend.
Hey, I'm your co-host, Monica. I'm enjoying Witch Doctor's Orders.
Okay. Do you know what's in it?
Hibiscus denizen.
Definitely.
Rum, coconut rum, coconut water.
Okay.
A bunch of other stuff that they had to go to the back for.
Asbestos.
Asbestos.
And the lime. Because, you know, you put the lime with the coconut.
And you'd put it all
together.
And
you drink them both together.
Sure, sure.
And then I call you in the morning.
That's right. There's Doug over there, just finished his delicious hot dog, but what were you drinking?
I was drinking a West Coast IPA with a couple other words that I lost interest in.
Yeah, you're like, and I don't
care. There are more words.
I don't care.
Gold avocado, rutabaga,
something. Sure.
Yeah, it's all organic.
Nothing like an IPA with a rutabaga back. That's right.
I don't know, some kind of branding.
We've got 4 stories, 2 of them a little bit silly that I'm really appreciating. I know you...
I don't have an update.
If you don't have an update, it should be the 4 are in there.
Hang on. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I know you had mentioned that maybe you had one also, but... Okay.
No.
Okay, good.
Not this week.
Okay,
cool. No.
Cool. So we will get started. You know what? How about right now?
Sure.
Dream of a carousel helped a Marine survive Vietnam. Give me that look, Doug. Thank you. Thank you. And the
you said words.
Okay. And the intense environment of the Con Thin, Vietnam, a Marine Corps corporal found solace in the dream of a carousel nestled in a mountain meadow. His simple logic was to envision the complete opposite of the surrounding of death, shrapnel, and chaos that he was in.
Man, that tie stick was good.
That's right, baby. Holding a music box from his sister, the war momentarily faded away. Nearly 40 years later, Corporal Scott Harrison, retired, brought that dream to life with the Carousel of Happiness nonprofit located in a picturesque valley in Nederland, Colorado, which I have been. I haven't been to the carousel, but I've been to Nederland, Colorado. The carousel offers thousands of visitors an escape on its hand-carved animals. Harrison explained to NBC News, or CBS News, I started out just trying to treat myself, but then it changed into something I could do for others, mostly because I felt very silly sitting on this carousel by myself. Last part's not true. A post at Con Thin was considered a death sentence, and the violence he witnessed led to clinical PTSD, which he struggled with despite an alcohol addiction.
Okay.
Drugs are the things that a lot of them went for.
Sure, sure.
To medicate for PTSD.
Well, you would think they would say, and also, he was dealing with it.
That's a modern thing.
Yeah. Harrison realized that turning his vision into reality could stabilize his mental state and bring him happiness. In 1986, 18 years after his deployment, he purchased a dilapidated Luft carousel from the early 20th century. He meticulously hand-carved new animals while repairing the ride. The carousel opened in 2010 and has been enjoyed by over a million people. Harrison's work is both skilled and essential, going beyond a simple carnival ride. He was featured in the award-winning documentary Carving Joy, and the Carousel of Happiness podcast delves into themes of joy, happiness, contentment, positivity, and well-being, offering a much-needed perspective in challenging times.
Yeah, so when is he going to build the one in Vietnam?
He's going to go to Vietnam. That'd actually be pretty cool.
I think it would be cool.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that's where this story would go.
Actually, what he thought he'd do instead was like Rambo, he was going to bring the hell from Vietnam to this picturesque valley in Nederland, Colorado.
Right. They took one look at the war-related animals and said, that got to go.
That's got to go. Yeah. Absolutely.
So headless animals and...
Yes.
Yeah.
And he starts doing puppets and he does...
No.
Dragons.
I love that.
Cats.
I love that Saturday Night Live sketch where... I forget his name
now. Is that Seth MacFarlane?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's Seth MacFarlane, but it's like, back in Grenada.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That was what he was doing, right?
That's right. You want to take the next one, Monica?
I will.
Yes.
I'm not going to do the headline.
No, because it kind of tells the whole story.
Yeah. It's like when previews tell too much about the movie. Maddie, 27 years old, was driving back from a night out in Byron Bay, Australia, mm-hmm. with a friend when they spotted Travis Becker and his friend hitchhiking. The tour, or rather the four, ended up... I've got tours on the brain.
Sure.
The four ended up spending the evening together with Maddie and Travis hitting it off.
If you know what I mean.
Yes. However, they forgot to exchange contact information and had to track each other down on Facebook. 2 weeks later, Maddie, an American studying abroad, and Travis, a Sydney resident, had their first official date. They got engaged 18 months later. The couple expressed immense gratitude for their spontaneous decision that night. Maddie from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, recalled, "If he had gotten one more drink, or if I'd taken a different route, we might not have met."
Hmm.
She knew right away he was the one.
The one to what? To bang?
I guess so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Travis also shared his perspective on their chance meeting, feeling that one more beer or a slightly different timing...
She'll do.
like them titties.
Would have prevented them from crossing paths.
I'm terrible.
Crossing paths.
I apologize.
Crossing paths?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the kids are calling it.
Banging.
Mind if I cross your path?
He had decided to hitchhike after failing to get an Uber due to a high surge hurdle.
Sure.
Within about 1 minute, someone shouts out of the car and is pulling over. It was two girls.
Hey.
My mate and I were like, let's get in.
You know, if you know what I mean.
You know.
To the car.
Little did I know.
To the car. To the car.
Little did I know it was my future wife driving.
Yay. Didn't care which one.
You'll do.
They instantly felt a connection.
Yay.
As it were. And as if they had known each other for years, they realized their Airbnbs were in the same area and spent the night playing cards.
Sure.
Playing cards. And talking. Maddie, so engrossed in conversation, forgot to get his number or social media. Mm-hmm. She only remembered he was an electrician from Sydney and eventually found his friend on Facebook to get in touch. They met up the next day and haven't stopped talking since. Oh, that's a marriage made on earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Feeling incredibly lucky. Shut up.
Okay.
Up.
No, we have to keep talking. This is the sign of a successful marriage.
That's sweet.
It is
Help
very
me.
Sweet. But I still, yeah. There we go. I know the whole thing. It's like, she said he was so handsome. And by the way, if you've seen the pictures,
yes,
they are a handsome couple. He is
all right,
gorgeous.
Then. Okay.
Makes me mad.
Little Chris Hemsworth.
You wanted
kind
him?
Of
yeah, a little
thing.
Bit. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, more of a Tom Holland type
okay.
situation.
Okay, all right. I'm totally jiving on that.
Okay,
said, yeah.
There we go. We still don't know how tickling works. But a new tickle lab at a university is finding out.
This is why Doge was invented.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I think I know why they're cutting funding.
Doug.
I didn't cut funding.
Doug.
Why?
Why can't you tickle yourself? Why are some people not ticklish at all? These are questions that have puzzled like two people.
Right.
From Socrates to Charles Darwin. Neuroscientist, oh, there's a name, Constantina Kitteni. Okay.
Constantina
Kitteni.
I love her work.
Kitteni. And Kitteni. Her colleagues at Radboud University are now tackling these complex questions in a new tickle lab, believing this, it's like...
At Radboud.
That's right, at Rambod.
Radboud.
Radboud.
I'd have to work out a lot longer to get a Radboud.
I like it.
Yeah, I know.
Lots of tickling. It burns more calories than you know.
Exactly.
Clearly.
They believe that tickling research, though often overlooked, can offer significant insights into various neurological, social, developmental, and evolutionary aspects of the brain.
Hey, Doug, what's your major?
It's tickling.
It's okay. This isn't in the United States.
Oh, okay.
So we can all relax.
We can keep the cow farts research.
We can be tickled by it.
Yeah. I'm sure that we have many fine tests like this.
Yes.
Kitteni highlights the multifaceted nature of tickling.
Oh my God! They killed Tinny,
and they don't talk about feet because that's done by Tarantino,
right?
The nature of tickling, suggesting that understanding it at a brain level could illuminate other areas of neuroscience. For instance, Doug,
what tickling? Why am I being attacked?
Yeah, well, you'll
I'll
see.
I'll tickle your ass.
You'll see. Tickling plays a role in strengthening the bond between parents and children. Will you think about the children, Doug?
So it doesn't matter if I tickle other people's children, does it?
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh,
sure.
Good.
Yeah. Just showing this study. They're like, by bad bod? Is that?
I'm being good
bod.
To your children.
Yeah, sure. By investigating how the brain processes ticklish stimuli and its connection to nervous system development, researchers can gain valuable knowledge about brain development in children. The fact that apes and even rats respond to tickling touches further to ticklish touches.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I know. I thought it touches further. No. Tickling touches further emphasizes its evolutionary significance, prompting questions about its purpose and benefits. Key scientific puzzles lie in the inability to tickle oneself. This phenomenon occurs because the brain anticipates the self-inflicted touch and can switch off the ticklish reflex. However, the precise brain mechanisms involved in being ticklish by others remains largely unknown. Kiltenny attributes this lack of understanding to the absence of a clear scientific definition of tickling itself. She distinguishes between intense tickling, like in the armpits, which is under-researched, and light feather-like stimulation, which is shot. It's got its own porn channel. To address these gaps, Kiltenny and her team at Donders Institute have devised a standardized method for tickling research. They create a special chair. Again.
Okay. All of this is a made-up thing off a porn site.
No, it is. They created a special chair where participants' feet are tickled by a mechanical stick. Again, this is funded by Tarantino.
Funded by Tarantino, yep.
Researchers then meticulously record brain activity and other physiology responses in between masturbatory. Such as heart rate, sweating, breathing, laughter, and screaming. This rigorous approach, Kiltenny believes, will not only lead to a deeper understanding of tickling, but also provide crucial insights into the workings of the human brain, particularly regarding differences observed in individuals with autism and who perceive touches as more ticklish.
Science has helped us so much, hasn't it?
It really is funny that we do make fun, but there's stuff we just don't know, and somebody should be trying to figure it out. That's the whole point, right?
Sure.
Making money and dying is the other thing.
Yeah, if we have enough resources that we can investigate it, let's do it.
We do. Well, some country does.
You do? I don't.
Wherever Radboud University is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's... Okay, that will take me into a whole other thing. It's like, you don't. You don't have the money for it, but...
If we take it from all the people.
That is what governments and universities are for, to look into the things that we don't actually think about.
This is true. I mean, there's a pure science and an applied science, and sometimes the pure dips into the applied.
I have to win trivia somehow. And I appreciate it.
I know Radbod.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you're really ticklish? Autism. All right, Monica.
All right. In the culinary world, simplicity often reigns supreme. This is perfectly exemplified by the humble Mexican taco stand, Taqueria El Califa de León, which has been honored with a coveted Michelin star. Despite its small size, seating only 11 people, and a menu featuring just 4 items, this establishment in Mexico City's Colonia San Rafael neighborhood stands out amongst thousands of competitors.
Yes.
Chef Arturo Rivera Martinez's commitment to quality over quantity led to his taco stand receiving a Michelin star in the first ever Mexico Guide. This prestigious award signifies high quality worth a stop. Rivera Martinez credits the simplicity of our taco as the secret to success, highlighting the importance of the tortilla, red or green sauce, and high quality meat.
Yes.
The foundation of a great taco, much like pizza dough, lies in its tortilla. The Michelin Guide praised Taqueria El Califa de León's tortillas as excellent, elemental, and pure.
Yes.
The guide also highlighted the exceptional Gonera taco, reportedly named after the famous Mexican bullfighter, Rodolfo.
Yeah, sure.
Rodolfo. Gonadas. Redonk-
right, Rodolfo.
Rodolfo
sure,
Gonadas.
Yeah, we all know that.
Beyond the superior tortilla and thinly sliced salt and lime seasoned meat,
yum,
the two homemade sauces were described as almost unnecessary. A testament to the core ingredient's flavor.
Uh-huh.
Mexico has solidified its place among the world's great food nations. Its rich tapestry of traditional and immigrant cultures, often harmoniously blended, coupled with diverse biomes that support a wide array of produce, provides all the essential ingredients for culinary excellence.
This is the first taco place to get a Michelin star.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mexico City is known for having a lot of really good food, so it's about time.
Yeah.
Claudia used to hop around to the different restaurants when she was there on her job. She just left about 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And about 4 days ago, I ran across a best 63 restaurants in Mexico City you haven't tried. I was like, ooh, I should send that. No, I shouldn't send that.
No.
She's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Which brings, what you missed, Claudia.
Which brings me to Doug and I having brunch. I mean, it's really just it's the halfway point between breakfast and lunch over at
El Dorado.
And I don't know what changed, but in this case, the chips for their chips and salsa was probably the best chips that I think I've ever had.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the chips were really on point, and then the tacos weren't.
They were fine.
They were okay, but they weren't as good as I had expected.
But
the chips were amazing.
But then I saw this later on in the day, and I was like, you know, it really is true that you can have excellence in a tortilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't ever think, well, you know, most of us were like, hey, just give me the tortilla, but it's amazing when it's done in a way. It's like if it's a flour tortilla, hence the reason why people pack HEB tortillas into their luggage
yes.
and try to get them on flights.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then.
Or you see the YouTube videos that are 40 minutes long on how to make the best scrambled eggs.
Right.
Or, you know, there are different ways to do it, and some of them really do make a difference.
Yep, yep.
So the place where I just had the place I came from with the Calliope music.
The demented
Calliope music. Latino music.
Sure.
That's not the right word.
Norteña music?
Yes. Okay, there we go. But it was one of those places where it was like El Marisco de la something.
So something to do with seafood.
Yes. And they have a ship's wheel on their sign and all that.
Cool.
And it was kind of like, okay, all right. But the place was so authentic. The girl who took our order, we had to point
to what you want on the menu.
On the menu, and she
Fantastic.
Still got it wrong for one of us.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, it was like, and I tried to explain. I had already eaten.
She's like, yeah.
All I just want a beer, and she was like, okay. And I said,
cerveza.
And she said, and she said that the word for the thing you get with shrimp. Ceviche.
Oh, ceviche.
Ceviche. She was ceviche, and I said,
no,
cerveza. And I'm going, you know, making the hand movement.
Right.
And I said, Dos Equis, Corona. And
yeah.
She was like, okay. She was like, yes.
That's her trying to pad the bill. That's what
that's
she's
exactly
doing.
What I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're like, no, I don't understand beer. I understand more expensive choices.
Right, right. Whatever the Spanish word is for lobster.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. I used to know.
Right. I've ordered you a villa in Michoacán.
Michoacán. That's right.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's ceviche en Michoacán. What is that? Lobster. Isn't that in Maine?
Shh. No, I don't have that fourth story, so let me be surprised along with everyone else.
No, I think we're done.
I thought that was
the fourth
story.
That was the fourth story.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did it all in one night.
That's right.
Brett talked so much, you fell asleep during
We got it done. You did too, I did too.
Yeah. Look at that. This drink must be stronger than I thought.
You know what, too, you can give us? By going to patreon.com/2beersin.
Order up.
Order up.
Give join them us.
Point to it on the menu. You want Patreon.
If you go to the Patreon, if you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extra story.
Can't even
story.
Get a beer for that.
Nope. Not anymore.
Nope.
Unless we're over at, where's the place? Where
Silver
were we at
Metal?
Last? Where was the last place you were at and there was $4 beers?
Oh, that's right. What was that place?
Boy.
It's very important,
not important.
That we stop talking.
We
are it out. We order brains.
You know, when I did it, this reminds me of the time. One of my last.
I went to a bar and I bought. I don't remember my name.
No,
it was really good.
When I did Great Night and we played the game. Do you remember?
Do you remember who said this?
It was brutal because as what happens is you do these things and then you immediately forget them.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to get on to the next thing so you clear the
But Justin and Brian were even worse because especially when you're doing kind of more of the improv thing.
Yes.
And and it came down to who said this and it was literally 30 seconds before. And then he even pushed it to where it was in the future. Who said that, like, I said this?
And one of them said, well, I think I would be a person who would say blah, blah, blah. And he just replayed what just happened
just
and said, you're the one who said it.
Congratulations.
Like, God damn it.
Oh, it was so funny.
It's brutal. It was hilarious.
So, yeah, patreon.com/2beersin. You can email us at I'm pushing it because my screen reset. At 2beersin@weightlesspod.com. Sorry, you could tell. Monica's looking at me right in my eyes, going, come on, Brett. Come on, you got it.
Do I need to
pick it
up? Get him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Before I tickle you, come on.
Monica, just so we can say it again, what's your latest thing outside of this that you did that's a podcast?
Oh my God!
Was it the Round Rock?
It was
Round the Rock.
It was the Live Oak Brewery for $4 beer.
Yes,
thank you.
Man,
and I was
that
on.
That was some kind of frontage road.
I was trying to bring the thing because I was also on.
You were on Andrew Heaton's.
Yes, alienating the audience.
Yes.
So yeah, I just wanted to put that in there. So, for our closing song, I know that neither one of you have heard this song.
Probably not.
Because the song came out 3 days ago.
Well, there you go.
There is a... she's not a new singer because she's been around for like 10 years. Her name is Indigo de Souza.
Sounds made up.
Yep.
That's her dancing name.
She's an American singer-songwriter and
Ladies
musician.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Indigo. I'm feeling blue. No, you're not. She's from Asheville, North Carolina.
I love that city.
Yep. She gained recognition as a indie rock band leader, and her music style is known for its intimate and often anxious indie rock sound. So this is good because there's all kinds of good electronical sounds with it. And I just thought it was a really neat song.
Okay.
And so I thought we would promote her. And if you go to our show notes, you can get a link to go get the album, which is quite good. So her latest album is called Precipice, which marks a significant shift towards a more of a pop sound than the indie rock sound. She's moving to Los Angeles. Yes. It's been described as confident, commanding collection. That makes no sense. Anyway, I played the last song, I got the last song, which is Precipice.
Okay.
So, before I push the button there
yes.
and turn down the other thing over here, and we don't have to hear whatever thing is anymore, I have been your host. I am now enjoying a Live Oak Hefeweizen.
The old standard.
Yep.
I love the old standards.
And there's Monica.
Hey, I've been enjoying Witch Doctor's Orders, which has a more hibiscus than rum.
Yeah,
in it.
That's what I was figuring. It was very red.
It's drank.
Yep. That's what it is. It's drank.
It did look like the blood of her enemies.
Yep. Yeah. And there's Doug over there.
And I finished up a West Coast IPA with other words I don't know.
Yay.
And you had a hot dog, too.
I had a hot dog.
Yeah, what was the name of the place?
It was actually really good.
What was the name of the
place? I don't know what the name of the place was. It was called an Austin Dog, which I assume is a made-up thing.
Sure.
But it was a food truck right here outside of the place we're at.
Which is Radio East.
Right.
Not Radio South. Radio East.
But I really liked it. It was a really good hot dog.
And even though this will be out after she's done it, our friend Laura Lee Vines is going to be doing a PowerPoint presentation later.
Which is probably more exciting than it sounds.
Yes. It's a humorous PowerPoint presentation.
It's more
and if Laura Lee's doing it,
yes,
it's going to be funny.
So be sure to head out here 2 weeks in the past.
Yes. So go into the past, build the time machine.
Who said that?
Kill Hitler. Figure out who said that.
That's right.
And then come do the thing. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. I'm always so helpful. Looking